Welcome to the LifeLink Church Podcast. We hope you hear something that will make a difference in your everyday life. If there is anything we can do to be a bigger part of God's plan for your life, then please email us at info@lifelinkchurch.com and let us know. Now prepare your hearts to hear God's word to you today.
All right, all right, all right, all right. Welcome back to part three of Juice. Everyone say Juice. You guys ready to actually be juiced up on God's word today? Yes or no? I always challenge people to say that yes or no, or frequently do, because there's something that happens when we make a decision to lean in and go for it. And this morning, that's what I want to do with you today. I want to encourage you to lean in and be ready to capture what God talks to you about. So you won't probably remember most of what you hear today unless you actually write it down or get it in your smartphone. So get your notes out. If you missed the greeters on the way in and want the paper version of the notes, the ushers are moving to the front to see you with your hands up. Slip your hands up. Let them know. They're going to make sure that you are in receipt of the notes as well. Those of you joining us online, you're in part three of our summer series. You're going to notice some cool things about what we're doing. Those of you that are here, you'll notice it as well. One of the fun things we're doing with our summer series is we're doing something called tag team sermons. And that is, our teaching team is tag teaming with three couples that are in our pastor's class right now. And I introduced them on the first Sunday of the summer series a couple weeks ago. For those of you that missed that opportunity to hear their names, let me remind you who you're going to be hearing and watching and receiving as tag team members with the sermons through the summer. That's James Mercer, Lacey Mercer, Chris Peterson, Leslie Peterson, Joshua Cooper Russell, and you may call him Joshua Cooper Russell. Thank you very much. You can do that if you want. He'll get a big smile out of it anyway. And his wife, Tiffany, who just did the video news for you. You're going to love all of them. We have such a great team coming up through our pastor's class. So very excited about it. Today, I had the fantastic privilege of tag teaming with James Mercer, who is the one who turned our daughter Lacey Wright into a Lacey Mercer. And so you met her a couple weeks ago. For those of you who didn't know, she started off as a Wright. She did. Now she's a Mercer. And today you're going to understand why. When you hear James bring it today, you're going to think, that's why, because he's just that good. You're going to enjoy it. But I want to start this morning's sermon with a review of the sermon series verse that we're all using. It's going to be on the screen. I'm going to encourage you all to actually read this along with us. Let's read out loud. Ready? Read. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Self-control. So as we're getting started this morning, that is the anchor verse we're using for this particular sermon series, working all the way through the summer, talking about what does God do inside of us? What's the benefit of His work in us that He produces inside of us as we follow Him in the journey called life? And so that's why he calls it the fruit of the Spirit, and that's where we're getting the idea of juice. So as we're doing this, I'm going to stop for just a moment and pray, because the thing that you're going to take away from this that will change your life is not a words perhaps that I say. It's what God talks to you about while we preach. We always want to make sure that he's in the middle of everything we do, even the teaching and preaching of his word. So let's pray. Father, we come to you acknowledging that you are our God. Everything we are and all that we do, really the benefits of and the blessings all come from you. Now, Lord, as we study your scripture, I'm asking by the work of the Holy Spirit that you would do what only you can do in our understanding. And that is take words that come from the Bible and cause the awareness of true understanding to begin to register in our heart and our soul and spirit and change our lives, we pray today in Jesus' name. Everybody said? Amen. Amen. All right. Peace. Everyone say peace. Fitting on Father's Day, don't you know? I thought that was an interesting alignment. I didn't plan it that way. It just kind of happened, and I think God had a little something to do with it. I don't know about the rest of you dads, but there is something I have in my heart and a profound appreciation for peace. In fact, when I think of peace, a lot of times in the context of who I think of guys in America, the picture that comes to my mind is the man cave. It's kind of a place that we can just kind of get to and get out of reach of the chaos of life and, you know, maybe the responsibilities of what's going on at home even. We can just retreat to the man. It's almost like an escape pod. It's like we can go in and shut the door. We're immersed in whatever we want to watch or whatever games are on or whatever we want to do. And so, but I was thinking about that as this like an escape pod. And I realized that whether you're a man or whether you're a woman, all of us have this desire in us that we want peace. None of us like conflict. None of us like challenges and struggles. None of us like that things. In fact, a lot of us find that when we feel overwhelmed by issues of life or pressures or anxiety, we do tend to find things that will help us kind of get away from that, and from kind of that momentary escape pod. And so I was thinking about this for what typically and stereotypically guys do, and I was thinking about some of the things that guys tend to reach for. And the reason I want to start with this is because I want you to know it's natural to do some things to try to figure out how to unplug from the pressures of life and escape a little bit. So sometimes it's the man cave. Other times it's a can of this or a bottle of that. Sometimes it's a little something to smoke or vape or swallow or chew. Sometimes it has to do with maybe going a little bit out of the way to see that somebody that's not your wife at work that just makes you feel kind of seen and special. And sometimes guys foolishly decide that it's a website or two that draws their attention into kind of a mess, but sometimes it's not that. It may be 45 or a minutes or an hour of just escape into a video game or something on your phone or whatever it is, but all of us know what it's like, and it's a relatable connection. We all understand how easy it is to think, man, I just need a break. I just kind of get away, and this will help kind of make me feel a little bit better. And I want you to know that that natural sense of the desire for peace is actually, I believe, created in us. God wants us to know how do we live in peace, but the natural way we pursue it is not God's way. And so today I wanted to set this up for you to say, just because you may want peace doesn't mean there's something wrong. That's actually created in you because God gives us peace. He just wants you to know that the way the world around us pursues it is not his way. It's not his way. And while it's understandable that people kind of try different things to try to find some of that peace, here's what I also want to acknowledge, and that is this. Whatever we do to try to find peace that's not God's way, and I've listed several kind of stereotypical ways that we do this, here's what I do know. There are maybe a few minutes that it does cause us temporarily to perhaps feel better, or to be distracted from the problems. We do kind of have a sense of escape, and we do feel distracted by some of the pressures and whatnot. But here's what I always know, that it's just a matter of time before the buzz is gone. The reality of the fact that those images don't do anything for you. Eventually, you have to turn the TV off. Eventually, you gotta put the phone down. Eventually, whatever it was you escaped into, you have to turn off, come back from, get away from, or whatever. In other words, it doesn't last. Does that make sense? And a lot of times what happens is the problem's still there. Issues are still there. Sometimes even worse now because of whatever you chose to get away from it in. And God is saying, that's a dead-end street. I know you want peace. I created you there to desire peace. But I also designed our relationship to be what brings that peace, which is why I believe that this issue is in the list of what we call the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5:22. God created us with a desire for it. Interestingly enough, he is the answer for it, which is why I believe God wants us to talk a little bit more about it. So when we're going through this, I believe God's word is very clear that he wants us to know that the world's pursuit, the world's ways of getting peace or relief is not his way. There are two different ways. Jesus said it this way. He said, I'm going to give you a gift. I'm leaving you with a gift, and the gift I'm leaving you is peace of mind and peace of heart. Maybe thinking, how does God give us that peace? That's exactly what we're going to be talking about today. But here's the reason I'm saying that. He said, and the peace I give is a gift that the world, what's the word? What is it? Cannot give. So let me just pause for a quick second and put it to you this way. It's not that the world's idea of peace is not quite as good as God's idea of peace. He's saying, I'm the only one who can actually give you actual peace. The world's pursuit cannot give you actual peace. So it's not just God saying about more peace. It's a whole different approach to it. Let me give you a couple of fill-ins that we're going to jump right into to unpack this thing. Number one, the peace that God is talking about is a spiritual peace, not a natural peace. It's a spiritual peace, not a natural peace, which is why, write this second part down, it is relational, not circumstantial. I wanted to pause on that for just a quick second and help you see the difference. Most of the time when we pursue peace, we're trying to solve problems or negotiate an agreement with something so that You quit bothering me, I'll quit bothering you. We'll be at peace. Does that make sense? So in other words, we try to fix the circumstances around us so that we'll finally be at peace. God said, that's not peace, because life's going to keep changing. Your circumstances are always going to keep changing. But if you'll let me, I'm going to come bring you real peace. But the peace I'm bringing is relational, not circumstantial. He says it this way in Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have what? Peace with God. Peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, God's peace is spiritual, it's relational, it's not natural, it's not circumstantial. And this is exactly the point in the sermon I want to tee up my tag team partner, because he's going to dress this thing up and walk it down the street. You're going to love it. So James Mercer is the man who's coming out. Let me just give you a brief introduction. Most of you see him in one of two different roles. He's got two primary jobs at LifeLink. He's our media director as our creative arts director. So all the creative arts that flow out of LifeLink, as far as any of the graphics and video stuff and whatnot, he's responsible for, does a great job with that. He's also our music director at LifeLink. You see him primarily playing the guitar up here. He's also my son-in-law. I think you're going to love the way he brings what he's going to bring to you. So would you put your hands together and welcome James Mercer as it comes to Bring the Heat. He's coming. I know he's coming. I see the curtains. There he is. There's the mic. Ready? And you're
off.
Thanks,
Pastor Dave. Well, good morning, everybody. I'm so excited to be here today. I got to tell you something. That high five is so stressful. You know how nervous I get that I'm going to miss and like hit Pastor Dave in the arm or something? Trust me, that high five is really high pressure, so I'm glad that went well. How's everybody doing this morning? You doing good? Are you excited about this topic? I know I share. Let me grab my notes here. I have a question I want to ask everyone. It's going to tee up what I want to talk about today. The question is, why is it so hard to have peace in our lives? Now, I'm sure there's probably hundreds of different answers that we can all come up with as to why that might be the case. But it all, to me, boils down to this. If we could have complete control in every area, I'd have peace, right? If I could get complete control in every part of my life, then I would have peace. Well, I have an unfortunate news flash for all of us today. We're not designed to be completely in control of our lives. Sorry, Mom. My mom likes to have everything under control. No, as long as I'm breathing oxygen, as long as I have an opportunity to mess things up, I know that I'm not going to be in control of every aspect of my life. But you know what's important about that is that's how we're designed to be. And I want to talk about that a little bit today. We're going to jump into a scripture. It's Father's Day, so we're going to talk about this relationship that Pastor Dave talked about. So if you turn your Bibles to Matthew 18, verse 3, it'll be on the screens if you don't have your Bibles with me. It says this, "Then he said, 'Truly, I say to you, unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of God.'" I'm sure most of us have heard this passage before. We have an understanding of how it works, but I want to unpack this a little bit. I got emotional in the first service because I want to talk about my little girls. In about 2 weeks, I'm going to be a dad for a second time. I get emotional. Nova Joy will be here on July 2nd, hopefully, but you guys all know how that stuff goes. Who knows when she'll be here? So we'll have a sweet little baby girl in a few weeks. But we also have a little baby, Emma. Now, Emma has been up here before on the stage with Pastor Cherie. She's been up here with Lacey, and Pastor Dave talks about her. But I need everyone to understand something. And all the dads in here will get this. She's my baby girl. I get emotional because there's a relationship that I have with Emma that no one else will have. Right? And what's cool about that is there's a built-in trust and faith she has in me as a dad. Now, as I've gotten to know her as she's grown up, she's 2 years old, and I've discovered something important about her. She is not afraid of anything. Now, I don't know where she gets that from, but this could get pretty dangerous because she will, like, jump off of anything. She'll jump in the pool when we go swimming. She has no fear at all. Here's what's so fundamentally important about that. She has an understanding that dad is in control. She knows that if she jumps in the pool, that dad's there to scoop her up. She knows if she goes down the slide, dad's at the bottom in case she skins her knee. There's a fundamental built-in reality inside of her little life where she is in complete trust that I'm in control. Now, what's the best part about Emma's life? She's completely at peace. Do you see it? She is completely at peace. This ties so important into our relationship with our Father, with God. Because I know every single one of us would love to not have to be bottlenecked with these things, these anxieties and stresses in life, right? See, the thing is, I didn't have to teach Emma to be like that. She is pre-wired to think of me as her dad that way. I didn't have to send her off to ASU and give her a master's degree, and if you eat that, you will die, right? She'll just enjoy her life knowing that dad's in control. I didn't have to tell her, Emma, you need to test me as a dad to find out if I'm really trustworthy, right? She is completely at peace because of the relationship that I have with her. Now, this would be amazing if we could have the same thing, right? Man, I don't have to worry about bills because I'm stress-free. I don't have to worry about my job. There's changes at my job. I don't have to worry about that. Or where are my students at back from camp? Woo! Okay, Ray, I got you guys. I don't have to worry about if Bae thinks my sneakers are lit. Yeah? Yeah? For all the parents in the house, that saying, the girl that I like, I hope she likes my shoes. Now, before we jump too deep into this, I want to tap out for a second, time out. This does not mean, well, great, I'm going to go home and take a nap and not worry about anything else in my life. No, we have to be responsible. We have bills we got to pay. We have jobs we have to go to. We have to parent our children. But there's a layer that Pastor Dave talked about a second ago, this spiritual layer of peace in our lives that we can unlock through this relationship with the Father. Let's go ahead and write this down. The peace of God occurs in my life when I know God is in control. And I believe this is exactly what Jesus was talking about in Matthew. We spend our whole lives learning how to adult or how to be adults, and we miss the fact that God never intended for us to be completely in control over every aspect of our life. We are designed to have an unshakable faith and trust in our Heavenly Father. So that when we go through life and we go down the slide of life, we know God's at the bottom ready to pick us up. When we jump into the deep end of our calling, we know God will not allow us to drown. He won't allow us to be injured through that. Amen? You see, too often we feel the need to be in control, but that's the exact thing that's spinning us out of control. This deep-seated desire to control every aspect of our life is what's causing that perpetual stress and unease in our lives. So here's the key to me, is true peace, and you can write this down, in our lives will turn anxiety to exhilaration. And this really fires me up, and you can do this fill-in. True peace comes through trusting in God. Trust is that hinge that will turn anxiety into exhilaration that creates the fruit of peace in our lives. That deep-seated trust in the Heavenly Father. Things like this, when I think about topics of tithing, which is a heavy topic, but for a lot of people, it can come across like, oh my goodness, God, I'm going to give my tithe, but I'm so scared. How am I going to pay the bills? How am I going to take care of what I have to take care of? No, if we trust in our Heavenly Father with a relationship with Him, we can turn that anxiety into exhilaration and say, God, I can't wait to give because I know you are going to pull through again in my finances. Right? We all have callings, and so hard sometimes God will give us a part of our calling, and it's scary because we don't know, man, is it going to hurt? What if I fail? What if I mess up? But when we have a true trust in our Father, that peace will show up in that calling, and we'll be able to jump deep into our calling knowing that God's in control. I think of Emma going off to school in a few years. Freaks me out. This is something God's working on with me because I can't be there when she goes off to school. I can't be in control of what's happening for her when she goes to school. And that creates some anxiety inside of me as a dad. I'm sure there's some dads in here that have gone through this before. But when I can truly trust my Heavenly Father, get to that place where I can be walking in that peace with Him, I know that when she goes to school, when she goes out with friends, whatever she does as she grows up, I know that God is in control. He can take care of her when I can't. That is the true peace that we're talking about today. Now, there's a third aspect of God's peace, but I would like to give it back to Pastor Dave for this one. So would you help me welcome Pastor Dave back to the stage?
All right. Thank you, James. Come on. I told you we'd love it. Let me bring a couple of thoughts together for you. You've heard us talk so far in this particular journey through the scripture. Hopefully, there's a couple of things that stood out. Number one is relationship. Did you guys hear that theme so far? Number two, the idea that control. Did James kind of connect the dots on some of the ideas about relationship and control? What I'm going to do now is bring that into focus and really bring this up to something I think God can use to change your life in big ways. Big ways. He said the peace of God is developed. Peace comes through trusting in God. We talked about that. The peace comes through trusting in God. But let me bring that down a little closer to you. Write this down. Peace with God, or God's peace, the peace of God is actually developed in my life as I choose to follow or obey Him and His ways. I obey Him and His ways. I follow Him and His ways. So this is where I want to bring these two big ideas kind of together and watch this kind of morph into the single, what I hope is a big aha. Relationship, trust. I trust Him, which means I'm going to follow Him and His ways. If you think about this, the way you get to know someone is you spend time with them, time enough with them that you learn how to anticipate this is what they're going to say, this is how they're going to respond. If my wife says, hey, honey, let's go to Carrabba's, it's always going to be, hey, that's a great idea because she knows I like Carrabba's. Honestly, she could say just about anything. Let's go to Jack in the Box. They're like, hey, I'm good at Jack in the Box. Let's go to Dunkin' Donuts. Hey, I'm good with that too. Just about anything. She knows, hey, honey, do you want to go to, and it's a restaurant, it's going to be, hey, it's a good idea. All right, she knows me. But the point I'm trying to make here is when you spend time following, going through life with a person, you learn them. And you know how to, you learn to anticipate what they're going to do or say. And even if it's not a good response, you develop a trust of how that person's going to respond. Does that make sense? So in the context of healthy relationships, you know I'm going to, if I do this or say this, it's going to begin to bring this kind of response from that person. I know that person. That's a development of trust that happens when we actually learn how to follow God through life as well. When He says, hey, when it comes to the issues of how you handle an offense, He said, I want you to forgive an offense. Now, I forgive an offense, I want you to forgive an offense. When we obey that and we learn, oh, this is how God responds to that. I know how He's going to respond. I know how He wants me to respond. And I choose to obey Him and His word. Ultimately, we get to know Him. We call that relationship. Well, if you think about it, we call that relationship. But one of the things I wanted to bring these two big ideas, relationship and trust, that whole obey God's way and His word. I want to bring this together with you in something that perhaps you've never thought about. Because in our Western culture, we don't... Well, let me just ask you this. Say the word obey. Ready? One, two, three.
Obey.
Okay. Now, think about the lingering feeling that you had as the word obey left your mouth. It probably was not like, oh, I love that word. It brings back such great memories. When we think obey, it's like obey. My way or the highway. That's it. The foot is down, to borrow a quote. How many of you guys saw that movie, The Foot is Down? What was that movie called?
Inside Out.
Inside Out. I've got to watch that tonight. That's it. The foot is down. That's what we tend to think of, obey. It's this imperial, boom, got to do it my way. When really what God is saying is, hey, I'm going to show you the way. Obey simply means I'm going to align my way with what you're doing, and I'll get the benefit and blessing out of it. The benefit and the blessing out of it. But it's hard for us because in our mindset, in the Western culture, the word obedience, we tend to resist that. I don't want to obey anybody. I don't want to obey. I want to do what I want. But here's what I want to bring to you. And if you hear anything, I'm asking you to listen to the next few moments. Let me say a statement that may initially hit you as, that's not true. But listen to this carefully. You obey your way through life every moment of every day. You obey all the time. You're like, dude, you do not know me. I don't obey. In fact, I do the other things just because I want to show somebody I won't obey. Here's what I want you to know. You're obeying something all the time. You constantly obey something. Let me step back and take another pass at this. I'll give you a couple of working pictures. Inside you, I want to introduce you to two players in your life. One of them is who you actually are, and the other one, for most people, is who they truly obey. Inside you right now is something called a chooser. A chooser. Inside you right now is a chooser. You make choices all the time. I mean, think about it. You're sitting there patiently waiting for me to finish my sermon. You're choosing to sit in that seat right now. You're choosing. There's a chooser that's always choosing, never stops choosing. By the way, you are your chooser. If you're wondering who you actually are, it's your chooser. Now, your chooser always obeys something. Most people, it's the wanter. That's the second player I want to introduce you to today. So your chooser always obeys something. For most people, it's the wanter. Just to take that a little further, you always get what you choose, by the way. You're like, that's not true either, Pastor Dave. I don't get what I choose. No, what I really mean to indicate is you get the consequences of what you choose. Whatever you choose, you ultimately get the consequences of it. Here's where most people never connect these dots. They think, oh no, I'm free. I'm free to choose whatever I want. And that's the whole point. Yes, you are. You're free to choose whatever you want. The fact is, most people just choose whatever their wanter wants, no matter what it is, without recognizing that here's the problem with the wanter. The wanter is a terrible tyrant. It is not a good friend of yours. Just because you want what it wants doesn't make it a good friend of yours. Because if you get what you want, within 5 minutes, it won't be enough. You'll have to get more of something for it to feel satisfied. Does that make sense? But I believe God wants us to know that the reason most people are not at peace is because their chooser is obeying the wrong thing. So if somebody made you mad, I want to just give them a piece of my mind. Thank you very much. I'll tell them how that cow ate the cabbage. Do cows eat cabbage? I don't even know if that's true. But think about it. In fact, I'd love to ask, whatever you're writing notes on, write this down. It's the question. What is my chooser obeying right now? What is my chooser obeying right now? What is my chooser obeying right now? Now, what I'm going to ask you to do is let the Holy Spirit bring that back up whenever He wants all week long. So this week, if I drive through Wendy's, I order that number one with cheese and jalapenos. Thank you very much. And I'll be tempted to go ahead and order a little add-on stack or whatever they call that little thing. Most of the time, my chooser goes ahead and follows that wanter. But this week, I'm going to say, wait a second, chooser. You think you want that, whatever. What you really need to do is follow the Holy Spirit and get in, put the car in reverse and just back on out of here. I'm just trying to make it practical, you guys. Think about it. Chooser is always choosing. Most of the time, it's obeying wanter. James talked about the fact that we think we want to be in control, and what we think we really want is we want to control our environment, we want to control our circumstances, so we finally get what we want. And he said, no, no, no. Peace comes when God is in control. And you say, hey, how does God get in control? Let me show you how God gets in control and brings peace. God gets in control of your life to bring peace when you recognize that the chooser on the inside that's used to following the wanter right here says, wait a second, I'm going to choose to follow God and let him be in control, which means I'll follow him instead. And when he says, don't lie, don't steal, don't cheat, don't lust, don't maneuver, don't manipulate, don't use, don't this, don't that, don't the other, instead of going, but I want to. And by the way, if you've ever been around a 3 or 4 year old, it's like, I want to, but I want it. Okay, your wanter is just a 3 year old inside of you too. It's just most adults figure out how to hide and cloak that wanter up so nobody sees it. I want it. Just tell your little 4 year old self, you're not in charge. I'm gonna choose to put somebody else in charge. It's God. I'm gonna go his way. But I want to spend that money, but I want to go here, but I want that entertainment, but I want this, but I want that. You say, yeah, you definitely want that. But you're going to choose something else because I want to put God in control. Because you, wanter, have driven me over a cliff too many times. Can I tell you, I've been an ordained pastor since 1989. Some of you weren't even born yet. The reason I'm saying that is with a sobriety that comes with watching hundreds of people I know drive their life over the cliff into insanity, I recognize that they're smart enough to know, but will not realize the fact that they're without even trying, they're letting their wanter drive their life over the cliff. You don't want an affair. You don't want www.whatever it is you go. You don't really want that the end, the bottom of that bottle. You don't really want whatever it is you want to snort up your nose. You don't want what you smoke. You don't. That's not really what you think you want that, but you don't. What you really want is what God created you for. And the only way you're going to ever get that is to recognize my chooser has got to quit following the wanter. I'm going to tell my chooser, you're going to obey something, but it won't be the wanter anymore. You're going to obey God. You're going to obey God. Yeah, but I want her. No, not really. But I want him. He's so hot, Pastor Dave. Don't you understand? No. He's going to have bad breath. He's going to have a big old belly here pretty soon. He won't look that hot in just a minute. Ask me how I know. But do you see what I'm talking about? We actually get what we choose. It's not what we want. We choose. And God is saying, no. Follow me. Follow my way. You'll get peace. Why? You're going to know me. You're going to trust me. And it's going to produce a peace inside of you that will last when the circumstances around you change all the time. All the time. All the time. Let me give you a couple of scriptures that really talk about what we just mentioned in kind of an illustration. Proverbs 16:25, which, by the way, for those of you that are soaping your way through the Bible, if you're not sure what that is, go to our website, because as a church, we actually work through the Bible a chapter a day through something called SOAP, Scripture, Observation, Application, and Prayer. It's just a way to meet God on a regular basis and say, God, what are you talking about to me today? Friday, it happened to be Proverbs chapter 16. So if you soaped your way through the week, then you've read this. But for those of you that perhaps on a different plan, here's what we read. There is a path before each person that seems right, but it ends in death. Can I give you another way of looking at that? What seems right is when you follow your wanter. It says if you just do what your wanter wants all the time, you'll burn your way through life completely burned out as an empty husk of a person. You'll get what you choose. It won't be what you think you wanted. Does that make sense? And God is saying that's a path to death. When God talks about your wanter, he actually uses a phrase in the Bible called sinful nature. Here's how he says it this way. So letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death. What's he saying? If you let your sinful nature, your wanter, control your chooser, that's the path to death. But letting God's spirit control your mind leads to what? I just want to see if you're still here. So God is basically saying, if you let your wanter guide your chooser, it's the path to what? Death. If you let my spirit, through the word of God, if you let my spirit control your mind, if you let my spirit inform or guide your chooser, it's the path to what? Life in what? Life in peace. Everyone, life in peace. So my greatest joy is to bring people to the place of seeing something in God's word that can change their life. And of all the things I've ever learned in walking with God, this one simple thing, I get what I choose. The only control I have in life is not my circumstances, not the people around me. The only control I have in life at all is over my chooser. And today, I'm going to control my chooser and tell it, stop following the wanter. Start following God and his way. And if you'll let the Holy Spirit speak to you about that all through the week, you're going to watch God do miracles for you. Jesus said, listen, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Your spiritual adversary works directly through your wanter to get you to sway away from what God's doing. He said, it's a dead end street. But Jesus said, I've come in order to give you life and have it to the full. In other words, I'm showing up on the scene of your life. I'm God. I'm showing up on the scene of your life to show you. You think you want that entertainment. You think you want that relationship. You think you want to live that way. You think you want this. You think you want that. That's the thief coming through your wanter to destroy your life. What you actually want is what I'll bring with me. I came to give you life and life to the full. And I want you to know, if you'll make the simple switch on the inside, I'm either going to let my wanter inform my chooser. In other words, I'm going to let my chooser obey my wanter. I'm going to let my chooser obey God. One of those is a path to life and peace. The other is a path to death. It may take you a lifetime to experience it, but God's word will ultimately be true. You know what? He brought you here on Father's Day to show you truth. So today, when it comes to the issue of peace, it's not going to be a man cave. It won't be the end of a bottle. It won't be something you ingest. It won't be an experience you have. It won't be any of those things. Whether you're a man, whether you're a woman, it doesn't matter. What you really want is peace that comes from relationship with God. You guys get something out of this morning? Amen. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you for your faithfulness. Today, God, we acknowledge that you're the God of truth because you created everything. One of the things we understand, Jesus, is that you're the one who came from heaven. You gave your life on Calvary's cross to die for the legal penalty of the sin of our lives, living without regard to you or your way, against God and the people he created. And today, God, we acknowledge that you are the one who are the only one who could have done it, and you did. We thank you, Lord, for that. You did that so we'd have relationship with our Creator, our Father. And today on Father's Day, we acknowledge that that's what we want because that's the path to peace. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, I just want to give you a quick moment to answer this question inside. Am I in a Christ-centered relationship with God? Is Jesus the one I'm really following on the inside? Is my wanter basically following God? Or is my wanter still my chooser still following Jesus? Or is my chooser following wanter? Some of you today, I know that you're going to hear on the inside an answer that lets you know you need a fresh start with Jesus. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, I know today you're coming to the place where you recognize, I need to ask God to forgive me for letting wanter be the Lord of my life instead of him. So I'm going to switch the chooser to him instead of my wanter. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, I'm going to ask, answer that question inside. Am I where I need to be with God, or do I need a fresh start and let Jesus be the Lord of my life? Now I'm going to ask everyone to pray this prayer with me. Pray it out loud from the bottom of your heart. Heavenly Father, thank you for being good to me, loving me enough to give me the truth of your word. Jesus, thank you for loving me enough to die on the cross to pay for the sin of my life. Today, I'm asking you to forgive me for every sin of my whole life. Come into my heart, wash me, cleanse me, make me brand new. Today, I'm deciding to follow you. No turning back. In Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. We pray that you are blessed by God's word. For more information, visit lifelinkchurch.com.